नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरं जयः नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये नस्त प्रेष्य भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्ति भवति नैष्टिके तथा रजस्तमो भाव कामलोभादयश्चये चेताय तैरनविदं सित्वं सत्वे प्रसीदति. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, second chapter, the Lord in the heart, text number 3. अतः कबीर नामसु यावत् अर्थो
स्यात्
अप्रमत्तो
व्यवसाय बुद्धि
सिद्धे अन्यथार्थे न यतेत तत्र
परिश्रमं
तत्र
समीक्षमानः
अतः कबीर नमसु यावदर्थ अथ कवीर्नामसु यावदर्थ स्यारप्रमत्तो व्यवसाय बुद्धि सिद्धे यथार्थे नयते तत्र परिश्रमं तत्र समीक्षमानः अतः कवीर्नामसु यावदर्थ स्यादप्रमत्तो व्यवसाय बुद्धि सिद्धे यथार्थे नयते तत्र परिश्रमं तत्र समीक्षमानः अतः
फॉर दिस रीजन
कविहि
the enlightened person
namasu
in names only
yavat
minimum
artaho
necessity
syat
must be
apramattaho
without being mad after them
Vyavasaya buddhi
intelligently fixed.
Siddhe
for success.
Anyata
otherwise.
Arte
in the interest of.
Na
should never.
Yateta
endeavor for.
Tatra
there.
Parishramam
laboring hard.
Tatra
there.
Samikshamanaha.
One who sees practically.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. For this reason, the enlightened person should endeavor only for the minimum necessities of life, while in the world of names. He should be intelligently fixed and never endeavor for unwanted things, being competent to perceive practically that all such endeavors are merely hard labor for nothing. Report. The Bhagavad Dharma, or the cult of Srimad Bhagavatam, is perfectly distinct from the way of fruitive activities, which are considered by the devotees to be merely a waste of time. The whole universe, or for that matter, all material existence, is moving on as jagat, simply for planning business, to make one's position very comfortable or secure. Although everyone sees that this existence is neither comfortable nor secure, and can never become comfortable or secure at any stage of development. Those who are captivated by the illusory advancement of material civilization, following the way of phantasmagoria, are certainly madmen. The whole material creation is a jugglery of names only. In fact, it is nothing but a bewildering creation of matter, like earth, water, and fire. The buildings, furniture, cars, bungalows, mills, factories, industries, peace, war, or even the highest perfection of material science, namely atomic energy and electronics, are all simply bewildering names of material elements with their concomitant reactions of the three modes. Since the devotees of the Lord knows them perfectly well, he is not interested in creating unwanted things for a situation which is not at all reality, but simply names of no more significance than the babble of sea waves. The great kings, leaders, and soldiers fight with one another in order to perpetuate their names in history. They are forgotten in due course of time, and they make a place for another era of history. But the devotee realizes how much history and historical persons are useless products of flickering time. The fruitive worker aspires after a big fortune in the matter of wealth, women, and worldly adoration. But those who are fixed in perfect reality are not at all interested in such false things. For them it is all a waste of time, since every second of human life is important. An enlightened man should be very careful to utilize time cautiously. 1 second of human life wasted in the vain research of planning for happiness in a mature world can never be replaced, even if one spends millions of coins of gold. Therefore, the transcendentalist desiring freedom from the clutches of Maya or the illusory activities of life is warned herewith not to be captivated by the external features of fruitive actors. Human life is never meant for sense gratification, but for self-realization. Srimad Bhagavatam instructs us solely on this subject from the very beginning to the end. Human life is simply meant for self-realization. The civilization which aims at this utmost perfection never indulges in creating unwanted things, and such a perfect civilization prepares men only to accept the bare necessities of life or to follow the principle of the best use of a bad bargain. Our material bodies and our lives in that connection are bad bargains, because the living entity is actually spirit, and spiritual advancement of the living entity is absolutely necessary. Human life is intended for the realization of this important factor, and one should act accordingly, accepting only the bare necessities of life, and depending more on God's gift, without diversion of human energy for any other purpose, such as being mad for material enjoyment. The materialistic advancement of civilization is called the civilization of the demons, which ultimately ends in wars and scarcity. The transcendentalist is specifically warned herewith to be fixed in mind, so that even if there is difficulty in plain living and high thinking, he will not budge even an inch from his stark determination. For a transcendentalist, it is a suicidal policy to be intimately in touch with the sense gratifiers of the world, because such a policy will frustrate the ultimate gain of life. Shukadeva Goswami met Maharaj Parikshit when the latter felt a necessity for such a meeting. It is the duty of a transcendentalist to help persons who desire real salvation and to support the cause of salvation. One might note that Shukadeva Goswami never met Maharaj Parikshit while he was ruling as a great king. For a transcendentalist, the mode of activities is explained in the next shloka.
Atakavir namasuya vadarto siara pramato vyavasaya buddhiside natarte nayate tatra parishramam tatra samikshamanaho.
For this reason, the enlightened person should endeavor only for the minimum necessities of life. While in the world of names, he should be intelligently fixed and never endeavor for unwanted things, being competent to perceive practically that all such endeavors are merely hard labor for nothing.
Om Jnana Timarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshurunvinitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Ruha Gadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Siyadvaita Gadadhara Srivasani Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Mukam Kavati Vachalam Pangum Langayate Nigrim Yat Kripadam Aham Vande Sri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanya Ishwaram Vamshakalpatarupyascha Kripa Sindhu Vivevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. Happy Sri Krishna Janmasthami. We're very fortunate to be here at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radhavala, Srila Prabhupada, all the assembled Vaishnavas, on this most auspicious day of Krishna's transcendental appearance in this world. We are utterly unqualified to speak on this highly esoteric and confidential subject matter. By the blessings of the Vaishnavas and with their prayers, we can try to make a feeble attempt. Sugadeva Goswami is explaining to Maharaj Parikshit the futility of the endeavor of the conditioned soul to attain happiness here in this mature world. Because the living entity is entrapped in this predicament, this uncomfortable situation of the gross and subtle material bodies. He's constantly striving to achieve his original state of Satchit Ananda. But through the expression of this body, it comes out in a very awkward, in a very strange kind of way. All these attempts are futile. They're being baffled again and again. Moga shamoga karma no moga jnana vichetasa. Why? Because they're all temporary. No matter how wonderful our arrangement in this world, it will not last. All the names of the great kings, they're long gone. They're even forgotten. Why? Because time and tide waits for no man. Whether he be Alexander the Great, whether he be Caesar, whether he be Napoleon, whether he be Mao Zedong, whether he be whoever. So, we're all trying to become the king of our own little castle. This body, our yantra, our favorite castle. We're trying to be the king, but how much are we actually ruling over this kingdom? We're pretending to do so, but we're not very good. And the castle is crumbling. It is falling apart as we're speaking. So Sukadeva Goswami is pointing out these facts and is telling his student, Maharaj Parikshit, that a saintly person, a sage, does not waste time in the pursuit of material happiness. Because happiness and distress come out of their own accord. We do not have to extraneously endeavor for them. So a saintly person is only accepting the bare necessities of life, not making any extraneous endeavor. We can see in all these cities of the modern world how much endeavor, how much energy is being spent simply to try to build up this propensity of material sense gratification. You ever wondered why there's traffic jams on the M1, on the M3, on the M5, on all the M's in the morning at 5 o'clock? What are these people all doing out there?
They should be chanting their rounds. Right? They should be worshipping their deities, their shalagrams. They should be engaged in spiritual practice, but no. Everybody is on the road, madly striving in their pursuit of happiness. Why? Because everybody thinks if I just get up 1 hour earlier, I'll be ahead of the pack. And I'll come home early and I can enjoy. But there's a few other people who have the exact same idea like you. And you end up being in an intense, tremendous parking lot on the M1 or M3 or M5. Yesterday, while coming back from visiting a friend, we hit such a parking lot. And you wonder, why is everybody out here at the same time like me? Why can't they come on another day or at a different time? Why? Because everybody has got the same idea in the material world. Because Shukadeva Goswami has a different idea. He's explaining to us how we can avoid these traffic jams, these parking lots, these predicaments, these embarrassments of the living entity. The living entity is embarrassed time and time again in his feeble attempts to try to enjoy material energy. So, by following these saintly persons, these sages, we can actually achieve the benefit of the human form of life. Krishna is explaining to us in Bhagavad Gita that the benefit of the human form of life is to find out about the real pleasure, about the real destination. Now, you may think Australia is a nice destination, or Switzerland is a nice destination, or even India is a nice destination. But Abrahma Bhuvanaloka Punaravartino Arjuna, all the planets, all the situation in this universe are not very nice. Why? Because they're temporary. In Brahma Sanghita, Lord Brahmaji explains the structure of the universe from Devidam all the way up to the highest planet, Golok. Now, when you want to know how something works, you have to ask the manufacturer. Like, how many of you own a smartphone? You're all smart people, so you all have smartphones. And so many other smart items and toys. And they come with a user's manual, many hundreds of pages in dozens of languages, where the manufacturer explains how you can get a proper benefit from using this commodity. Now, this universe is many times more complex than all of these devices put together. And what is the user's manual? Who has written the user's manual? Brahmaji is the non-disputed creator, the one who has made this entire labyrinth. So if we want to know how this system works and how we can live a peaceful life, we should listen to Brahma. Because many times people are confused. Today is Sri Krishna Jamashtami, the appearance day of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Supreme means no one equal and no one superior. Everybody inferior. Now sometimes people become a little disturbed by that. How can you say Krishna is better than all the others? Well, God means he's the greatest, right? So greatest means he's the best. So if he would be equal with everybody, he wouldn't be God. No, but all the gods are the same. Ah, have you ever heard this mantra? No. It's a very common mantra, right? Like no taxes and free benefits for everybody. It's a very common mantra, a very popular mantra. But we're not subscribing to populism. Because populism is not actually working. So, not to get sidetracked from the topic. Supreme means asamordva. Unequaled, unsurpassed. Nobody parallels Krishna. Because he is, as Brahmaji states, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Now somebody might say, okay, I accept. There are devas, there are different people, they have different power, and then there is Vishnu Tattva, and They're supreme. But they, all the Vishnus, they're all same. No. Not true. If you go to South India, you go to any Vishnu temple where the Lord takes rest, what kind of pictures are on the walls?
Dasavatar.
Dasavatar? Can you be a little more specific? What is in the Sanctum Sanctorium, in the place where the Lord takes rest, what kind of pictures are on the wall? Does anybody know? Do we have any South Indians here? Any South Indian Brahmins? Okay, tell us. What's on the wall? Maybe is a bad start. You're not allowed to start with maybe. If you do not know, you should not speculate.
Sleeping in a big snake.
All the Vrindavan pastimes of Krishna are on the wall. Because Krishna is the most confidential, the most sweet, the most original form of the personality of God. How many of you have been to Balaji, Tirupati? Now, when people wait in line for many hours, what do they chant? Govinda, 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 Govinda. Now, sometimes you go to Jagannath Puri or other places and you say Hare Krishna, and people say, no, 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 Jai Jagannath. Because they're very proud about their Jagannath. But who is Jagannath? It's Krishna. Now, of course, we appreciate their sentiment. We appreciate their dedication to their worshipful Lord. But on the level of rasa, we have great appreciation. But on the level of tattva, we have to understand who is the source. Diparchireva. There is the original candle which has lit all the other candles. Now all the potency, the light, the effulgence, the strength is the same from all the candles. But one of the candles was the original candle. And that is Krishna. In fact, this universe is emanating from an expansion of an expansion of Krishna. So, Krishna is Anadi Radir Govinda. He is the source of everything. And he is without any cause, without any source. So Krishna was spoken Bhagavad Gita. He explains to us how we can attain him. How can we achieve him? Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattvataha tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sorjuna. If you don't plan to come again to another castle, if you have become realistic, if your naivety is gone, and you're not making plans to conquer another castle in this world, and you want to go back to that Paramdhamma, Parambrahma, Paramdhamma, Pavitram, to that supreme abode, then we have to know about Krishna's birth, his appearance, his activity, in truth. Now, so many people speculate about Krishna. Nowadays, it is a very popular sport, speculation. I think, maybe, perhaps, it could be, or in fact, absolutely, definitely it is so. And people are writing books, and articles, and magazines, and great poetry about who they think Krishna was. But how many people know Krishna in truth? Krishna cannot be known by a person who is speculating on the mundane platform. Krishna can only be known, as is explained by Brahmaji, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santatsadaivaradeshu Vilokayanti Yam Shyama Sundaram Achintya Gunaksvarupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. Unless our eyes are anointed with the salve of love of God, unless we have a devotional view, unless we have a vision filled with bhakti, with devotion, and we're seeing through scripture, which is coming down from parampara, we cannot know who Krishna is. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarsha yogiduhu sakalineha mahata yoganashta parantapa. So when we hear, and today we will hear Krishna's pastimes, because that is what Jamastami is all about. We chant Krishna's name, kirtan koro, we hear Krishna's pastime, and we serve Krishna, especially by taking care of his guests. If you have guests in your house, it is your primary duty to please the guests. So today, our worshipful Lord, Shri Radha Vala, on his birthday, Krishna has invited the whole world to come and take part in his birthday celebration. And he has given us the privilege of assisting him in his birthday by taking care of all of his guests. That is a very elevated, that is a very unique, that is a very special service that Krishna has granted us. So every person who comes today in these premises is a special soul, is a pilgrim, and we should treat them with utmost respect and care and service attitude. We might think, oh, I'm also a guest. Ah, no. No, you're not guests. We're not spectators. We're assisting Krishna. We're being part of the hosting team here. When you're a hosting team, you have a certain duty to fulfill towards all the visitors. So Krishna has given us, by his kind mercy, this service. And to carry out that service with ekeha buddhi, vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunandana bahushikayanantascha buddhayo vyavasayanam, to be single-minded in our purpose excuse me, is very important, because in this world of names there are so many distractions, there are so many diversions, there are so many scenic routes that we can try to take in this world, but we should not become sidetracked, because our goal, our purpose, our focus should be one. Krishna's pleasure, Radha Vallabha's pleasure. And they are very pleased. Satatam kirtayanto mamyadantas chasri davrata namashyantas chamam bhakti nitya uktupasa. By chanting their names, by hearing their glories, and by worshipping them with love and devotion, we can please Krishna. Now Krishna has come into this world because he wants to fulfill his purpose. What is the purpose of his appearance? Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata avyuttanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham patranaya sadhunam vinashacharuskritam dharma samstapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord is appearing millennium after millennium in his original form. Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna, he appears once in a day, Brahma, in his original form, in every time, in every era, there's different incarnations who are propounding the Yuga Dharma. But Krishna, the original Lord, he only appears once in a day of Brahma. And he comes to establish the principles of Dharma, to annihilate the miscreants, and to enliven, to inspire the devotees, the saintly persons, and to engage in loving pastimes with his devotees. So, these pastimes are very wonderfully delineated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Avalam Yadvaishnavanam Priyam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit on the tree of the Vedic literatures. Vyasadeva was not satisfied when he had written the four Vedas, the Vedanta Sutra, the Upanishads, the Puranas. He was not satisfied because he had failed to describe Krishna's supremely wonderful pastimes. Krishna has four unique qualities that no other personality in existence has. What are those? They're his exquisite beauty. Krishna is unlimitedly attractive. Krishna, in fact, means all attractive. Of course, people will say Krishna means black, and Krishna means so many other things. But Krishna means the most attractive, the one who attracts everybody. In fact, he's also known as Madan Mohan. Now, Cupid in this world enchants every living entity. Everything in this world is moving under the attraction of Cupid. But Krishna is known as Madan Mohan. That when Cupid sees Krishna, his bow, his arrows, he just drops him. He loses his enthusiasm for his activity. And he's just stunned seeing Krishna's beauty. Are we stunned seeing the beauty of Sri Sri Radha Vallabha? There's no more beautiful personalities in all of existence than their most worshipful Lord, Sri Sri Radha Vallabha. Now, of course, Srimati Radharani, she's Madan Mohan Mohini. She can attract the mind of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said, because Srimati Radharani is holding her hand in the pose of blessing and in the other pose of dancing, Krishna can never leave her. Because he's always attracted by her. So, then Krishna is always playing his flute. Veni. Krishna is always playing on his flute. That is his pastime. German scientists went to India to find out who is God, and he studied all the devas. And his conclusion was, Krishna must be God. Because everybody else is working. They all have a job. They all go to the office. They all have to see people, and they have to do things for people. Well, what's Krishna doing? He's simply playing on his flute. That means he must be supreme. You can see, the person who is actually in control, he's not working hard. He's got it figured out. That's why usually people who get affluent or powerful, they have other people doing the things for them. So if we want God to do things for us, then we're not dealing with God, we're dealing with his agent. If you go to the Prime Minister or to the President or the King and you tell him, please give me 1 kilogram of mangoes, he will not get up and go down to the warehouse and get you that. He will say, yeah, Joey will get it for you. Okay, go to Joey. He'll take care of you. But if you want to engage in a loving relationship, then you're dealing with Krishna. So if we want to do business with God, if we want to do politics with God, if we want to do intellectual gymnastics, we're not dealing with God here. We're dealing with one of his agents. And that is not the same. That is not the same level of satisfaction. Joy will come and he'll hand you your kilo of mangoes. And he'll say, go have fun. But that's not the same type of experience. That's not the fullness. That's not the same time of exchange. So Krishna is supremely beautiful. Krishna is supremely independent, and thus he's just playing his flute. And he has loving pastimes with his devotees. That is unique. If you look at all the other, even Dasa avatars, what relationship can you have with Kalki avatar? The mantra is run for your life. If you're still around at that time, then the mantra is run for your life, you know? If you have practiced well Aussie rules or whatever it is, cricket or whatever it is that you're playing, so you can use all your talent and you can run for your life. What relationship can you have with Kurma avatar, with Matsya avatar, with Vara avatar? Yes, you can offer prayers to them. But Krishna, he has all the fullness of his rasas. All the different relationships that he has with his loving devotees are there in Krishna, in full. And which one are we still missing? Number 4? It's childhood pastime. Krishna's childhood pastimes are exquisite. When Krishna appeared in this world, and we'll hear about his appearance a little later on, but not right now because he appeared at midnight, so there will be other speakers, there will be other persons who will speak about the appearance of Krishna. As a small baby, he killed the witch Putana, who came to poison him. She smeared poison on her breast. But Krishna accepted her as a nurse, as one of his mothers. And he closed his eyes because the first demon that he had to kill was a woman. Now, to kill a woman is not acceptable under any circumstances, ordinarily. But Krishna saw that this witch is so devious. She has killed so many babies. She has caused so much harm. And she has come to kill me. But she has also come to offer me her milk. So let me accept her milk. And he sucked out the poison, he sucked out the milk, and he sucked out the life breath, the life air of Putana. And he wouldn't let go. And she was screaming, "Oh child, leave me, leave me!" And she assumed her original form, which was ghastly, ferocious, many miles long. And she crashed down on the pasturing grounds of Braja. And she gave up her life. And baby Krishna was very happily playing on this gigantic Putana. Because children, they like to climb up on things. Have you ever noticed? Not just they climb on their parents. They want to climb on anything. Anything that's there. So, that's why you have to be careful. Because even if you have a little fence, they want to climb over it. It's the nature of children. And if you tell them not to do it, they become even more enthusiastic to do it. So, Krishna, he has got all these propensities. They come from him. He's the original supreme person. Sometimes we have the tendency to steal things. Have you ever noticed? Huh? Like Mahaprasadam, it's always gone. Because the devotees have this propensity that there's only one rule, no rules. Okay? Beg, borrow, or steal, but somehow get Mahaprasadam. So Krishna is known as Makanchor. He's stealing the butter. Now Krishna has got the sweetest, the most tasty, the most wonderful butter and milk products at the house of Yashoda Ma and Nanda Maharaj, who are keeping special cows, who they're feeding special grasses just for the pleasure of Krishna. But Krishna is hankering for the butter of all the gopis in Vrindavan. And thus he's going to the different houses and climbing with the help of his friends and breaking butter pots and stealing butter. Now when somebody becomes a thief, he's put in jail. He's humiliated. He's disrespected in society. But Krishna, when he becomes a thief, people sing about it for thousands and thousands of years. Oh, Krishna, stealing the butter. Oh, very wonderful. Beautiful. That is the difference between Krishna and all other living entities. So, Krishna is performing these beautiful childhood pastimes just simply to attract our hearts. Simply to attract our minds. So we can let go of our attractions here, of the mundane variety. When we see the beauty of Radha Vallabha, we should become so enamored, so enchanted, that we forget about our own luxurious dressing, our own fancy convoyances and facilities. And we are living a modest life, a frugal life, an honest life, where we're content with whatever Krishna has given us, and we're using it in His service. Bhaktyamam avijanati yavanyascha smitattvataha tatomam tatito gyatva vishate tadanantaram. Only through bhakti can we actually achieve Krishna, not through any other way. So this is the message of the Bhagavad Gita. This is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. All the sages, all the saints, they have enunciated the same teaching. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in this world as the combined form of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Balaram Hoylo Nitar. And they have come here to give us the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Namachitamini Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shudanita Muktam Mindatvam Nama Namino. Krishna and His holy name are none different. Nama Prabhu, Krishna is Nama Avatar. As the holy name, Krishna can fulfill all the purposes of His appearance. To destroy the demoniac mentality within us. To establish Dharma. To attract all living entities. It can be achieved simply through the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So Srila Prabhupada, He has made Krishna famous all throughout this world. And Krishna has made it His business to make Prabhupada famous. Now there's a competition going on between Krishna and His devotee. We don't know yet who will win. But I think we have a slight idea. Because Krishna likes to be defeated by His devotee. When Sridham and Subal, when they wrestle, when they fight with Krishna, they conquer Krishna by their pure love and by their simplicity. So much so that Krishna is carrying them on their shoulders. The Supreme Absolute Truth is being defeated and is carrying His friends on His shoulders. That is the greatness of Krishna. That's why He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because pure love is higher than respect, than adoration, than worship, than praise. Krishna says, I am more pleased by the scolding words of the gopis than I am attracted by the chanting of Vedic hymns and mantras. My mind becomes captured by their chastising words and insults. Why? Because they're offered in pure love, in pure attraction. When the gopis went to Mother Yashoda to complain about Krishna stealing butter, Mother Yashoda said, he's a naughty boy, what can I do? Should I lock him up? They said, no, don't lock him up. We're making the butter only so that he can come and steal it. But still we have to complain. Because that is the nature of loving exchanges. So Krishna's pastimes are very sweet. They're very intimate. And we can only understand them in truth when we hear them from the pure devotee, from Srila Prabhupada. The devotees who are in the line of Srila Prabhupada. So chastity is required not only for ladies but also for men, because when we become chaste followers, when we follow the easy path strictly, then we can actually attain the desired result. Last winter we were in South India, and in many places they were holding Bhagavad Saptaha and they invited us. But it was not Bhagavad Saptaha, it was not the whole Bhagavatam, it was just 10th canto. Rasa Leela and different Leela Katha. So, Srila Prabhupada did not encourage this type of Bhagavatam hearing. He wanted us to study Srimad Bhagavatam from a person Bhagavatam, a person who is following the instructions of Shukadeva Goswami, who is actually following the parampara. And we should study Srimad Bhagavatam from the beginning to the end. Of course, Prabhupada has given us Krishna book, so today we can read Krishna book and Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, the pastimes, the appearance, the wonderful activities of Krishna, and in this way absorb ourselves in Krishna's pastimes, in Krishna's name, form, activities. And thus, by Krishna's grace, we can achieve that Purushartha Shiromani, that supremely valuable gem, that priceless jewel, remembrance of Krishna. And what does that remembrance mean? It means service to Krishna. Because when we meditate on Krishna's lotus feet, feet means service. Our prayer is, how can we serve you? A devotee is not interested in enjoying Krishna's company. A devotee wants to serve Krishna. That's why we see there's so much seva going on. Flower garlands are being made, feasts are being cooked, temple is being decorated, guests are being taken care of. So many activities, so much service is there. And that is the highest form of remembrance. And when Krishna wants to reveal himself to us, that is his prerogative. When Krishna forces himself in the mind of a devotee, and he appears, and he gives him darshan, that is Krishna's special mercy. So, today is a very special day to engage in all these different services, and especially to hear and chant about Krishna. Because Krishna's holy name is perfect and complete. Purna Shuddha Nidya Mukta. It is complete, it is unalloyed, pure, without any tinge of contamination. So simply by chanting Krishna's holy name, we can achieve the perfection of the human form of life.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Taksi Krishna nama adina bhavet grayam indriyai sevim mukhe jivadam svayam eva spuratyada. By focusing all our sensory capacities, starting with the tongue, on Krishna, in this way we can achieve his perfection. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
The purport as well as the verse discusses the futility of material engagement. But in the life of a lot of us devotees, we have to work in offices and deal with a lot of situations and which are entirely karmic. Okay, we may engage the result in service of Krishna, but the activities as well as the engagement with the people themselves is entirely materialistic.
What is the difference between matter and spirit?
Definition or?
Yes. Is this microphone material or is it spiritual?
It's material, but when it's used in service of Krishna, it becomes spiritualized.
So right now, is this microphone material or is it spiritual?
Spiritual.
Okay. So if you go to the office and you work and your mindset, your mentality is, I'm doing this work to please Krishna, and I'm offering the fruits of my labor to maintain Krishna's devotees and to maintain Krishna's temple, Krishna's deity and Krishna's preaching. Is it material or is it spiritual?
Spiritual.
So what is the difficulty? Krishna is in every atom and he's also in between every atom. That includes your office. It's not that in my office. That's the space where Krishna is not present. Why should he not be present there? It's all his energy. Everything comes from him. From the first breath we take in the morning, everything that we, the clothes we wear, the prasad that we receive, whatever, it is all Krishna's mercy. So to be Krishna conscious means to be conscious, to be aware of Krishna in every situation of life. Now in some situations, when you're in front of Shri Radha Vallabha, it may be easier than in other situations. But whoever said it's going to be easy? What question is there of glorious victory unless there has been some struggle to attain it? Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna. He was a fighter on the battlefield. How can you remember Krishna on the battlefield? There's a lot of arrows. There's a lot of weapons flying around. There's a lot of noise. It's a very dangerous situation. But he was fully focused on Krishna. And what's that mentality? not for me that I'm doing this. Not motivated for my own sake. I'm also not the proprietor. I'm simply the caretaker. I'm taking care of this family if you have one, or of this car if you have one, or this apartment or a building. It's not mine. I'm taking care of it on behalf of Krishna. And thus I'm following the Ishavasya principle. Ishavasya midam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagatyena tektena bunjida magrida kasasvidanam. Knowing well to whom it belongs, we only take our quota and we use it in the proper way. And in this way, we're not known as a thief. How to develop this attitude, this state of mind? By constantly hearing and chanting about Krishna. Just like you're all commuting to study or work or whatever it is that you do, you can hear Krishna's katha. There's so much katha about Krishna. And when we're at work also, we should always be conscious that I'm not doing this for myself. I'm not doing this for my boss. I'm doing this for Krishna. And acting in such a mindset will actually spiritualize our activity. Any other questions? Any other points? So today yes, Prabhu. You see, our problem is we think we are the subject, but we're not. We're the object. As long as we think I'm the subject, I'm number one, it's not going to work out. Because as long as we have this misconception, everything, we'll see everything as related to us. Oh, I like, I don't like. I like, I don't like. That means it's related to me. I'm the subject and these are objects. But when we actually understand that Krishna is the subject and everything around him is object, everything is centered, everything is focused, everything is revolving around Krishna. In fact, when I go for darshan, it is not primarily that I go to see Krishna, because how much can I see Krishna in truth? But I want to be seen by Krishna. I want that Krishna cast one glance upon me. That will be the perfection. So rather than trying to see God, to act in a way that attracts Krishna. And that means taking care of his guests, taking care of his devotees, taking care of his temple. Not telling Krishna, oh, you can be proud of me. See how lavishly I have worshipped you. How gorgeously I have decorated, etc., etc., etc. So, Krishna is only attracted by pure love. And pure love means it's unalloyed. It's free from karma. It's free from jnana. It's free from these tendencies that I'm the center. And there has to be something in it for me. Now, the spirit of Jamastami is very special. It's wonderful. Because you see the synergy, you see all the endeavor, all the devotion, all the dedication of all the devotees coming together simply for the pleasure of Krishna. That is Sankirtan. That is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu propounded. All the devotees were coming together to engage in Harinam Sankirtan, to distribute the glory of the holy name to all living entities. That is the only process that works in this day and age. How to do it? Associate with devotees who have this mood, who have this spirit, this mentality. And by following in their footsteps, we can also get a glimpse of this realization. Any other points? Yes.
That Krishna is?
Krishna, see how well I've done and you should
yes.
be proud of me. And, but we also hear that pride can be used in Krishna's service. We should be proud of Krishna's service. So, how do we reconcile that it is not based on false ego, but we are happy for him? How do we reconcile that?
Pride can be used in Krishna's service by being proud of what a wonderful Lord and Master I have. How wonderful is Krishna. How wonderful are Krishna's devotee and his movement and the spiritual masters. But as soon as we put ourselves into this equation, then it becomes jaded. It becomes contaminated with this false pride. That we're thinking that something is unique because it is related to me. This movement is unique because I'm part of this movement. Like, why is my guru the best guru? You know why? Because he's my guru. Because by his great intelligence, he accepted me as his disciple. So that's why he's the greatest guru. Why is my India great? Or my Pakistan? Or my Australia? Or my Canada? Or Switzerland? Because it is the place where I was born. That's why it's great. There's no other logic behind it. So, as aspiring devotees of Krishna, we should be very careful to analyze our motivations. Spiritual life means introspection. It is not an external show of whatever we're trying to portray. Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. He's not only between the atoms and in the atoms, he's also in our heart as our very special friend and guide. And as Paramatma, he's guiding us and he knows our heart. He knows the state of the nation, the state of affairs, how things are going in our little kingdom, in our little yantra. So we cannot fool Krishna. Am I doing this to get some recognition? Am I doing this to become distinct? I'm the best of the garland makers. I'm the best of the vegetable cutters. We all want to be distinct at something. Either the best or the worst, but something distinct, something special. We can't just be one amongst the team. Because team will mean what glory is there for me. But there is a problem. That Sankirtan means team. Samyak Kirtan, it means together, congregation. The team is the importance. Of course, team also means individuals. Every person, every individual is important. But we should not try to manipulate or to have our ulterior motives. Of course, akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo daradi tigrena bhakti yogena yajita purusha param. We may come with so many different motives, so many different attitudes and ideas when we come to Krishna's temple. But Krishna has got his own way of dealing with that. One time I asked the devotee, how did you join in class? And he said, I will not say. I said, why not? He said, I will tell you later. So later I asked him. He said, you know, my first book, I stole it. Together with my friend. We went to the book table and one was fooling the devotee and the other stole the book and then we left. And we felt very proud. Oh, just see how we have shown this fellow. We stole his book. So then they started reading and they became attracted and they became devotees. And then they said, now after 10 years, we're still here. Trying to pay back to Krishna what we stole from him. Because there is heavy interest rate. You know? Krishna has got, you know, heavy interest. So, Krishna has a unique sense of humor. He's original. Everything emanates from him. So if we think we're very unique, we're very special, then Krishna will have his special way of dealing with our uniqueness, with our specialness. And he will make things just a little bit, you know what I mean, you know? Sometimes slightly embarrassing, sometimes slightly uncomfortable. He will rock our boat just in the right way, so that we will realize Krishna is responsive. He's the most magnanimous Lord. He wants his devotees to come back to him. Whatever is in between the devotee and Krishna, it will be removed. If it is our distinction, if it is our pride, if it is our success, if it is our opulence, our beauty, our great learning, our wealth, if that is an obstacle that is hindering our bhakti, our love, to flow without any, without inhibitions, without any obstruction to Krishna, Krishna will remove. So Krishna is very kind. He's very merciful. So let us worship Krishna, dedicate ourselves to him and to his cause, to his mission, by wholeheartedly embracing this mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're not spectators here. We're part of the team. Thousands of people will come to take darshan of Krishna. Let us try to assist in this glorious event. And then carry on throughout the year with the same spirit. Because every day can be Jamashtami. If you want to make Krishna appear. Every day can be a special day in Krishna's service. Thank you for your great enthusiasm and sincerity and your great teamwork. This is one of the most illustrious temples of our society. We have about 500 centers in ISKCON, but we have very few communities. But here I see a community, because I see people of all walks of life working together, putting their egos, their personal ambition, their personal preferences and likes and dislikes to the background, and coming together for the higher cause of serving Krishna and all living entities. So it is very inspiring. We have not come here to teach anything, but we have come here simply as beggars to get some mercy from all of you, because the path through the desert is long and arduous, but with your mercy, with your blessings and kind wishes, it is quite possible to make this journey. Thank you for all your wonderful activities and sincerity. Please try to keep up this spirit of Jamashtami throughout the year, because Australia needs it, because Melbourne needs it, because we need it. Thank you very much. All go Srila Prabhupada. Shri Krishna Jamashtami Maha Mahotsav Ke Jai. Shri Radha Vallabha Ke Jai. Shri Jagannath Balade Subhadra Devi Ke Jai. Shri Gauri Thai Ke Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ke Jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ke Jai. Gaura Brahmanande Hari Hari Hari.